All right, so we've been talking about how the disciples turned their world upside down. And then we moved into yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? How do you yield to God? And we went through that. And then last week I began, and it's really connected to the idea of yielding. And if you remember, there were three things, three elements to yielding ourselves to God and the Holy Spirit. And it involves humility or submission. I use the word submission and humility both. And in order to come under the will and the authority of another. And so when you submit yourself to God, that is one of the ways that we yield to the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about sensitivity. That's the timing of what God wants us to do. And then we talked about action. And we used the illustration of you're trying to get on the entrance ramp of one of the highways around here, 684 perhaps. And you're, you know, yielding does not mean stop. Okay? Yielding does not mean stop. In fact, a yield sign is not a stop sign. It's a yield sign. And the reason why it's different is because it has to do with, it does have to do with submission, doesn't it? Because when somebody is you know, in your way, or they're coming up behind you, and they're about the same speed as you, the good idea is to let them get in front of you. Am I right? That's the better idea. But stopping doesn't help the people behind you. And so we talked about that, and then we went on to the subject of power tools. Now, we don't have quite the array of power tools that we had last week. I didn't want to trouble the men to bring their tools in, but this is a nice power tool. And remember, what was the phrase that we used? We said, power tools get the job done, right? Power tools are designed to get the job done. Turn with me. We're going to start out with Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Praise God. Once you get there, we'll read it, and then we're going to pray. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that today you would speak to us, you'd inspire us, you would help us in our journey with you to learn, to grow, and mature in Christ, and to realize, Father, that you've given us tools. You've given us power tools to get the job done. And now, Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding. God, that we would see clearer than we've seen in the past. We would hear clearer than we've heard in the past. And, Father, that we would do more for the kingdom than we've ever done in the past because we're obedient to you. Father, I pray that you'd use me as I speak. And Father, that you would speak through me and even teach me as I teach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we did talk about the fact that if you're going to use power tools, you've got to keep them charged up. And one of the ways, and Silvio gave a beautiful testimony of how when he literally died and left his body, and go back and watch the video if you would, he died, left his body. When he came back to this earth, he came back speaking in other tongues. And that's what he heard when he was watching his body lift off the table. He heard the words, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And we shared with you what Jude 20 says about praying in the Holy Spirit, that it recharges us, if you will. It actually rejuvenates us. And so the gifts of the Spirit, just like these power tools, have various functions. Now this one will cut, and of course I probably don't know how to use this very well. Let's see. It's got a safety.
We got it. You don't have to turn it on. You don't have to turn it on.
Yeah. I'm not going to lose a finger, I promise.
We trust you.
You trust me. Oh, this one might need to be charged up. How about that? How about that? Has a battery. And you've got to have the battery charged in order to use it.
Amen.
So there is a... There's an illustration there.
Yes, there is.
Now, there is also... Notice how you charge a battery.
Stay plugged in.
See, Adam's got this, right? Adam's helping me preach today, right? So, you got to stay plugged in. You got to stay plugged in. Our batteries, they do diminish. Now, just like your car battery eventually wears out, right? You've got to keep them plugged in. So I had a little story that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was using my weed trimmer. Now, I did not bring my weed trimmer in here because weed trimmers by nature are very nasty. They have lots of dirt on them. They create lots of dirt, let's put it that way, and they're kind of grimy. And I have one of the new high-powered electric weed trimmers, right? I got it a couple years ago, and I use it, and it's really, really great, right? Because I used to have the gas one, and the gas one would break down all the time, and it was just such a mess. And, I think I probably threw away over a course of time because they just stopped working. I couldn't get them started again. You take them somewhere, and they say, no, we don't work on those. Okay, so I guess they're disposable. So I decided to get one of these electric ones. So I had it all plugged in. And near my workbench. And I had the battery plugged in. And I knew that it was going to be lawn cutting season. So I had it all plugged in. I'm like, I'm going to need this. Right? Had it all plugged in. I even saw the little light flash. So when it came time for me to cut my lawn, I cut the lawn, I go into the garage to grab the weed trimmer, and I must have been searching for something. Maybe a screwdriver, I don't know. Remember my screwdriver collection from last week? So it may have been a screwdriver, I'm not sure, but somehow that battery wasn't connected anymore. So I popped it on my weed trimmer, and guess what? No power. So I had to actually hand pull some weeds that were really, really bothering me. Now, did I get the job done? Yes, I did. But could it have been done a lot quicker and a lot more effective had I had my weed trimmer battery charged? Yes. You know, it's the same with spiritual gifts. You know, could we do without spiritual gifts? There are brothers and sisters in Christ who actually believe that they cease to work in the church world. I don't understand that, because why would we not want to have power from on high to live this gospel life? I think sometimes spiritual gifts, they intimidate us. They scare us because they seem alien. They seem different. They seem strange. The Word of God tells us in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 that when the disciples went out preaching after they got the Great Commission, it says they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word through accompanying signs. Through accompanying signs. What were those signs? They were the power tools. They were the power tools. Because power tools get the job done. Right? Power tools get the job done. Now, there are three types of power tools, if you will. There are the speaking power tools. Those are the ones that when somebody has a verbal expression of what God is saying, it could be a gift of tongues. It could be a prophecy. It could be It could be a gift of tongues, prophecy. It could be also preaching, under the anointing of preaching. But gift of tongue, prophecy, and interpretation of the gift of tongues is also one of those three. Now, a lot of times we like to put everything in neat little boxes and say, well, there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's really more than that. There are many different expressions. In fact, if we look in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are gifts, plural, of healing. Meaning there's different ways that the gifts of healing occur. So there are gifts that say something. This is a really easy way to kind of remember some of the power tools that God has given us access as His church. Some of those tools are speaking. They're gifts that say something. Say something. So those gifts are power gifts, all right? Somebody speaking in other tongues is giving a message in other tongues from God in a service. Now, that's different than somebody praying in other tongues. It's similar, but it has a different authority to it. It's a message to the body, and it is a sign for unbelievers. That message then is interpreted. Sometimes it's an exact language. There's many recorded instances of it being an exact language. But remember, the Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues of men and what? Of angels? Talking about of angels. Who has that written down and figured out? It's not there. It's a supernatural verbal expression. So when we're looking at the power gifts, they are used to further the gospel. They're used to get the job done. If the early church needed these gifts to establish the early church, and then for some reason we didn't need them anymore, it doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. Because just like my weed trimmer story, I still needed power, and how much easier it is to do the job when you have power behind it. So you have to stay hooked up. So there is a connection when it comes to keeping your battery charged up. It's a connection with God. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you today is that you have to connect to the power. Remember my story. I accidentally unplugged the battery pack. I unplugged from the power source that would fill the battery up in order to do the job and to get the job done. So I then had to resort to my own efforts a little bit and get my hands dirty. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And some of you say, well, I like pulling weeds. It's therapeutic. Well, I like trimming them because it's fast. And I don't like lawn work, okay? But when it comes to actually spreading the gospel, God used the power tools to get the job done, to confirm the signs, by signs and wonders, to confirm what was preached. You know, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes unto the Father but by me. That Jesus ascended into heaven, but he gave us his Holy Spirit to get the job done. It is the power from on high. We began to read that. Now, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 1. And it says, I, brethren, then came to you, or I came to you, and I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul tried it both ways. If you read over in the book of Acts, when he reasoned with the philosophers in Greece and reasoned with them, he didn't have very many converts because he used his intellect to try to persuade, and there was very little that happened. But then we see here with the Corinthian church, he said this. He said, "For I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech," verse 4, "and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Power. Because power tools get the job done. Power tools enable us to get the job done. Now, they are not ours to walk around and say, "Look at my power tool. I just got the biggest tool. Just look at my power tool. I'm just something great because I have a power tool." No, the gifts are always designed to point to Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are designed to point to Jesus, to point to the gospel. Now, have there been abuses of the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. I'll be the first one to tell you, yes, there have. Have there been excesses? Yes, there have. In fact, if you read the book of Corinthians, their lives were a mess. I mean, they were partying. They were sleeping around. They were not doing the right thing. But yet, the Apostle Paul actually commends them that they were zealous for spiritual gifts. So now, when I was growing up and just learning some of the things of the Spirit, I was always told, in order to experience the power tools, you had to be very close to God. You have to be close to God in order to experience the power tools. The power gifts, I should say. And so I always kind of thought, well, oh wow, only the super spiritual people are going to be able to experience those things. But as I learned and grew as a young man, got filled with the Holy Spirit, got exposed to the gifts of the Spirit, my life was forever changed. Because I realized that just like we talked about last week, praying in other tongues kept me charged up in the things of God and the things of faith. It kept me sensitive to His voice. It helped me to pray the mysteries out so that sometimes I didn't know what I was praying for. I didn't know what I was praying for. And I told you the story about my roommate from Puerto Rico, who at the time, when he first met me, did not know any English. He actually played, the year after he was my roommate, he played baseball for the Oral Roberts baseball team. He was very into baseball, and he made it on the team, NCAA team, and they've been in the news this last week because they did really well in the College World Series. And for a Christian spirit-filled team, that's pretty amazing. And so I remember one night, I didn't even remember this happened. But the Lord apparently woke me up, and I'm praying in other tongues in my sleep. Well, my roommate, who didn't know much about me, he'd only met me for a couple weeks now. He didn't know what was going on. Now, he came from an Assembly of God background, Pentecostal background. He heard me speaking in other tongues in my sleep. Now, I'm asleep, but I'm doing it in my sleep.
Hallelujah.
And he jumps off his bed because I woke him up. Now, he was 6'2". I am not 6'2". He was 6'2". He gets down on his knees and he just said, "I just joined you." And he began to pray in other tongues. Now, the next morning, he says, "Brother, what were you praying about?" I said, "I have no idea. What do you mean?" He says, "You woke me up." I said, "I didn't. Oh, I'm so sorry. Bob, I am so sorry." He says, "No, ma'am, you woke me up." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He says, "I heard you praying in other tongues and you were shouting in other tongues in my sleep." He says, "So I just got down on my knees and I started praying in tongues with you because I figured you might need help."
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
You need a friend like that.
Yes.
You need a friend like that. You need some help? Let me pray with you. You say, "I don't know how to pray for you." Well, Romans 8 tells us we don't know how to pray always as we ought in English, in understanding, right? What did the Apostle Paul say? He says, "Sometimes I pray with the Spirit, sometimes I pray with the understanding." Because when I pray in the Spirit, my mind's unfruitful. Now, I want you to go back to this verse, because he said in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I was with you in weakness and fear, much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but instead of demonstration of the Spirit and power. If anybody could have done the human wisdom thing, it could have been Paul. He was educated. He was actually being raised up and trained and mentored to become a high priest. He knew multiple languages. He had, from a time of his childhood, he was taught the scriptures. He was versed in Torah. He understood all the law. In fact, in Philippians, he gives you his resume and says, when it comes to the law, I had it down. I knew it. But what does he do? He goes on to say, he says, but I consider all of that as rubbish in light of knowing Christ. See, you can be as intellectual as you want to be. You can try to make this book intellectual. It's not an intellectual book. It's a spiritual book. If you just view it with an intellectual mindset, you'll rob it of its power. You will rob it of it, of what God wants to do. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it is the word of God that is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the reason why Paul could write over there in Romans and tell us in Romans chapter 12. Colin's doing a great job keeping up with me today. That's why the Apostle Paul could say that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, but we are to renew our mind. That means we've got to renew our mind with the way God thinks, not just the way human wisdom thinks. That's why I tell people this all the time. I used to love to get in theological debates. And I'm not a good debater. You can ask my family. I'm just not good at it. But I will tell you this. I found out you can win an argument and lose a person.
That's right. Yeah, you can.
So I refuse to debate theological issues. It's just not, that's not my calling. I think there are people who are called to help defend the faith. But I don't think they're called to fight each other. You hear me? I think they're called to defend the faith like the books that the youth department gave, so that you have a ready defense of the gospel, so that you can, at least from a practical standpoint, give a defense of the faith. That's called apologetics. And so one of the things that I would just remind us when we're looking at this is the Apostle Paul didn't rely on how smart he was. Did he? What did he rely on? The power from on high. He relied on the demonstration of the Spirit of God. The demonstration of the Spirit of God. So stay connected to the power. See, connection to the power of God has to do with going back to that same principle a couple weeks ago when I talked to you about yielding. It is submission to God. It's putting your mind, I'm not telling you that you're supposed to never intellectually think about something. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that has to come under the Spirit of God on the inside. Your mind comes under the Spirit, because the Spirit man should be the one who actually, by God's Holy Spirit, leads and guides you and speaks to you in that still small voice. Tells you to do certain things. Stop and say hello to somebody. Stop. Write that note. Call that person. Speak that word of encouragement to somebody. You just never know what's going to happen. Now, I've told the story many times, and I'm almost done this morning. I've told the story about how for months, we would drive by the Christian broadcasting station when we first moved up here. We were living with Christine's grandmother in Wappingers Falls. And right there on Route 9, Trinity Broadcasting, Christian Broadcasting folks had a little station right there on Route 9 in Fishkill. And we'd get off the exit, And my heart was just drawn to it every time we'd get off the exit. So one day, I was getting some paint supplies, and we were painting Christine's grandmother's room. Just because we lived there for free, we thought we'd try to do something to help her. As we just moved, we were stepping out in faith. Our stuff was in storage, and God just told us to go to the Northeast. You know, sometimes God will lead you, and you don't even know what's going to happen next. And we didn't know all the things that were going to happen next. We didn't know this church was going to happen. We did all these things. It was just a still, small voice. It was the word pictures that were coming on the inside. See, if I told you red Ferrari, immediately, if any of you know what Ferraris are, you had a picture of what that looks like in your mind. That's what words do. God speaks to us in pictures, and those then can become words. And so as we were painting, I'm all paint covered. I went to Walmart. I'm paint covered. And I heard down on the inside, stop in there. And I thought, I'm covered in paint and drywall. I'm supposed to stop in Trinity Broadcasting Station, and I'm supposed to stop in there. And I tried to ignore it. I really did. Have you ever tried to ignore God? And that picture came up again. And then I got stuck in a little bit of traffic. Right in front of this thing. So now I'm sitting there. And it's just staring at me. And I just kind of heard a very still, small voice down here. Go in and introduce yourself. I'm a mess. First of all, I just moved up here and I still had an Atlanta Braves cap on. That's problematic for New Yorkers. And so I go inside and I walk into this beautiful lobby. And there's this nice lady sitting there. Hello, can I help you? I'm like, I didn't even know what to tell her. I said, well, I just kind of wanted to see what you guys do here. And she goes, well, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. I happen to be a minister. She goes, you are? And I said, yeah, I just was picking up some paint supplies. Now I'm really feeling like, you have to meet the station manager. We're looking for people to host our shows locally. And I was like, what are you talking about? She meets me. She asks me some questions. She found out I was an Oral Roberts University graduate. She found out we were Rhema graduates. She says, oh, bring your wife in. Let's put you on the show as guests since you're starting your traveling ministry. And we're going to give you a tryout to become hosts. How did that happen? Listening to the still small voice down on the inside. Why am I talking about this? Because every time I drove by, I didn't know what to do. That picture of go in there and find out what's going on over there was just a picture down on the inside. I couldn't get away from it. As it turned out, Pastor Christine and I, we hosted about, I don't know, maybe four or five shows, and we were guests on one or two shows. And we did that for a season. It was a season that God opened up. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying because the power tools of connecting with the Spirit, keeping your battery charged, are so vital. Now, we've got some graduates that they're not going to be in a spiritual environment like here. They're not going to be in a spiritual environment. Our church needs to pray for these young men that because they're not going to be in an environment on a regular basis. Now, hopefully they'll find a church home, they'll find a campus ministry, they'll find some things that they can be plugged into to stay plugged in. But that's one of the ways you stay connected. Praying in the Holy Ghost is another way. Staying in the Word of God is another way. Because what do? We've got to feed our spirit man. If you're going to go spend a lot of time and presumably money to go and educate our mind, what should we do with our spirit man down on the inside? Brother Hagin used to say this, and he used to He used to get criticized for it because people would say, we're not quite sure what you're saying about this. But he said he felt it was more important for somebody to learn to hear the Spirit of God's voice than it was for them to get a college education. And sometimes people took offense to that. Why was he saying that? He was saying because it could save your life to know if you're supposed to get in that car or that bus or that plane. It's the guide on the inside. What is it? It's staying connected. It's staying connected to the plan of God. See, the Holy Spirit will take you places to touch people with the gospel. That's what he'll do. And we've got to check our connection. I must have unplugged my weed whacker. And it was unplugged and I didn't know it. But when I needed the power, I didn't have it. And there's probably instances you as Christians that you might say, I needed the power and I didn't have it. I want to encourage you. Stay hooked up. Stay in a place. Check your connection. Adults, check your connection. Check your connection. Because power tools are available to you to do what God puts in front of you. And I wrote this as I was preparing for this series, and I wrote this. We're either connecting to God in prayer with the Word, praying in the Holy Spirit, or we're connecting to our flesh. You can't become a mature Christian by just listening to preaching or intellectual arguments, debates, information about God, the Bible, or theological points of view. That appeals to our flesh, soulish, mental, intellectual realm, but this will never feed your connection to the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm going to say that again. You can spend a lot of time trying to approach this book intellectually, and you're not going to have the power when you need it. You're not going to have the power when you need it. There was a particular denomination, I am not going to name it, just because I'm not trying to criticize. I want to illustrate a point. There was a particular denomination that would send missionaries out all over the world. They were very gospel-centric, and they still are. And they made a rule in their convention one year that none of their missionaries could practice speaking in other tongues or any of the gifts of the Spirit. If they did, they would lose their ordination. Now, these are missionaries that are sent on the foreign field because this particular denomination did not believe that the gifts of the Spirit, the power tools that get the job done, they didn't believe that they were for today. So from a theological, intellectual standpoint, that's what their stand was. Now, it's interesting because when their missionaries came back home, their missionaries were like, we have a confession to make. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, we speak with other tongues. We lay hands on the sick. We've seen God do miracles. Oh, and we prophesied under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, by the way, we've seen demons cast out. And the denomination had to reverse course and say, okay, let God be God. And they actually no longer forbid anybody when it came to the things of the Spirit. Why? Because if you're on the mission field, let me tell you something. You need power. But I'm going to tell you, church, we today need power in this world, in this time frame. Because you will receive power from on high to get the job done. The spiritual tools are available. So check your connection. You know, we are saved once we've confessed Jesus, believe in our heart, confessed him, received his forgiveness. We're saved, right? But then there is a point where we are being saved. Our soul is being renewed. And it's by the Word of God. And then there is a point that we will be saved. And that is when our bodies are totally renewed. And you're going to get a resurrected body that will walk through walls too. Amen. Praise God. So what happens when you check your connection and things aren't right? Well, if you're a computer geek, you reset. Reboot. You ever heard the term reboot? You ever turn reset, right? You reset it. So in order to get the power flowing again, sometimes we need to reboot. Sometimes we need to reset. Sometimes you need to check that connection and say, maybe something's wrong with the electrical connection I am plugged into, because I'm not getting any power. And that is something spiritually that we need to do an inventory of ourselves. If you find that there's nothing happening, your spiritual life is seemingly dry, you feel like you're in a desert sipping sand, maybe that's what you feel like. Check your connection once again. Reboot if necessary. Hit the reset button. Right? Hit the reset button and then act on the power. Allow time in His presence. Allow time in His presence, His Word, to set you in order. And then He may download and activate some power tools. Now He owns the gifts. They're His gifts. So never get the idea of, I'm gifted, I have the gift of healing. No, don't do that. They're not yours. They're His. He distributes them as He wills. And I believe He wills a lot more than we act on, because we haven't been connected to the power, and we're not sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit as a 15-year-old young man, the Word of God just became alive to me. And the sensitivity to the Spirit. Did I do squirrely, crazy things? Yes. Did I miss it? Yes. Thank God I was around people who loved me, who just said, hey, brother, you just need to tone that back just a bit. I did something called shout evangelism. I would stand on the street corner, U.S. Highway number 1, that goes from Key West, Florida, all the way to Maine, and I would, because I lived right near there, and I would, not near Key West, but U.S. Highway number 1, and I would stand and I would shout at cars going by. Was I zealous for the Lord? Yes. Did God look at my heart and say, He's got my heart, let's kind of get things a little bit more right. See, God will do that if you will stay connected. He'll download the right software to you. You'll get into a flow. There will be opportunities for you to just yield to Him. And when you yield to Him, the Spirit is going to, He's going to manifest His gifts. He's going to manifest His gifts. And we read the verse last week, that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. See, power tools get the job done. They point to Jesus. When somebody is healed, you point them to Jesus. When somebody gets a word of knowledge, because you were bold enough to speak it. I remember the first time it happened, it didn't happen in a church service with me. It happened on a high school bus with one of my friends who didn't know the Lord right next to me. And I had a word of knowledge for him. And we're talking about God. He's trying to debate me. And I wasn't debating. I'm just talking about, man, God is so good. He showed me this. Let me tell you this verse. Man, He loves you so much. And I'm telling him all these things. And then right down here, I got a word picture that his left knee was in terrible pain. He never told me. I looked at him, I said, is your left knee in terrible pain? He looked at me. He almost started crying. Come on. He looked at me, and we're in marching band together. He looked at me, he goes, how did you know? I said, the Spirit of God showed it to me. Yes. See, when you start to know it, you step out in it. You could be wrong sometimes. It's okay. Don't shrink back. But instead, just keep the connection strong in God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It builds up your faith so that when you go and you're like, man, I need a power tool right now. Lord, do you got one available for me? He's got them available. And we read, believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that's why when people said to me that, well, God made me sick. No. Why would he work against himself that way? No. No, 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 no. No, it's the enemy who comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and he sends you. And he sends me to do the work of the kingdom. Power gifts. We're going to keep going in this. There's more. Oh, there's so much more. Praise God. But I have you. Actually, next week, we have a little surprise. Next week, I want you to come. I'll be here, by the way. Even though she said I'm going away, I am going away. But I will be here in the service. Reverend N.S. Jackson is bringing the word.
Amen.
So you need to bring a friend. And you need to come ready. And the prayer time that we have before church, I just keep coming up with this phrase, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. And I keep coming up with that phrase, and I feel like God's given us fresh oil. So get here if you can at 10:20, between 10:20, 10:25. That's what we're shooting for to start prayer time. Get here. It has just been a great time of praying and stepping out in these things and seeing God do some things and speaking out stuff. And if you've never been a part of a prayer group that way, you need to come. That's how you see how these things work in the body and mature you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you for this day. And thank you, Lord, for the power gifts that you've given us. Lord, we truly want to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves to you. We truly want, Father God, to be sensitive to whatever you have for us. We truly want to be people of action, to see the gospel preached, not just in our own power, but, Lord, under the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would confirm the word with signs and miracles and wonders that literally will bless people and build the kingdom. So thank you for that today. Thank you for ministering to your people. Thank you, Father God, for ministering to our graduates. Lord, that as they go forth in the world, Lord, that you would keep them plugged into the things of God, things of the Spirit, Father, that they would see your hand in their lives wherever they go. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, perhaps you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. And it's real simple. You just believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's the first step. You just believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for your sins, and you receive that forgiveness by faith and call him your Lord and Savior. That means he gets to call the shots. It's not just in your intellect, but he gets to call the shots. And if you're willing to do that, the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll be born again. So right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching online, maybe it's you that you want to raise your hand. But I'm going to give an opportunity for people here to raise their hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. I want to be born again. Perhaps you need a reset. You need to hit that reset button and reboot. And this is an opportunity to recommit your life to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand in this place for either being born again for the first time or just recommitting your life. Anybody at all? Praise God. Looks like in this place we're all home folks, but maybe out there might be some that are actually wanting to do that. So we're going to pray together right now and say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead for me. And I believe and I receive in his forgiveness to wash me clean, to make me new. I believe that Jesus allows me a new birth today, a new start in Jesus' name. And I call Jesus my Lord, my Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or it was an act of recommitment, a reset, a reboot for you, we'd love to know about it. We'd like to send you some materials to help you in your walk with God. And come expecting next week. Connect with us online. Connect with us in person right here at 27 Radio Circle. God's doing some great things in our church, and we invite you to be a part of that. Amen, amen. So praise God. Let's stand our feet as we have our sending out verse, and then we have some food and fellowship for our graduates here today as we celebrate their accomplishments. But let's have our sending out verse right now. It says, "For the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day.
Amen.